Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Matty B. And for the first time in years, I'm actually sick for the show. And normally, sometimes you're like feeling a little bit under the weather. But this time, it's like actual sickness. And I don't even remember like the last time I felt like this. And so, we'll see how this goes. I might be a little delirious. I was talking about getting the show connected before we go. And sometimes we do a little pre-show. Last week, because you were so hot on Florida State, I ended up leaving it in. And because I've been so tired today, I didn't even look and see how people responded. But I do like doing that sometimes. And I'm going to try to do stuff for the new year in terms of like more YouTube stuff, like maybe even bull picks or gambling stuff. Because ESPN started ESPN Bet. Did you see that? I see. Yes. I see a commercial for it all the time, and it's like some girl at homecoming with her like boyfriend that I guess peaked in college, and she's like betting against his team. And I'm like, this seems like very, like that's the one thing that I don't want ESPN getting into is betting. But we'll start off with fantasy football.
I mean, I also don't want them to be involved in my college football playoffs either because they have a vested interest in it.
I know. Well, let's get to that in a little bit because I feel like we've been just talking about that. I feel like that's what we're going to talk about the whole time. But I want to talk about fantasy football because for the first time, Matt, I don't even know if it's for the first time, me and you are meeting in the playoffs. And I told you, I'm on a collision course. We've met. Did we? Because so here's my playoff. I looked back at my history. I either win the championship or I lose in the first round. There's no in between. I've won 3 championships. I've lost in the first round 4 times. So, at least I think the one year was kind of weird. So maybe I did lose in the second round. But looking at the stats, I don't know, like going all the way back through. But I will say that my team started 2-6, and I thought, man, or maybe it was 1-6. I thought this is a disaster. Like, I can't follow up a championship performance with, like, going down like this. And then, next thing you know, I ripped off, like, 7 wins in a row to finish 8-6. I'm going to look it up real quick to see if it tells me. I guess it doesn't really tell me. But that's my move into playoffs. I got enough guys where I'm playing you. I think a lot of key guys are hurt this week. Herbert has a broken finger, right? For the Chargers.
Yes.
I think he's going to have surgery.
Yeah, he's done for the rest of the year.
So that really screws my team because I have Eckler. And you know he carried me all the way last year after Derrick Henry suffered something similar. Josh Jacobs, my other main running back. I've been playing 4 running backs. So when I hear people complain about like, I don't have any running backs. I'm like, yeah, but I'm pretty sure I picked 2 up. Or maybe at least 1. I know I picked up, Jerome Ford on the waiver. I think I drafted Breece Hall as my backup. So, who was the other one I had? Oh, I guess I cut him. I can't remember, but I think I did pick up one more because for a little bit, one of my guys was injured. I think it might have been Breece. But Jerome Ford, he's questionable. He, has a broken hand or something. They showed it during the sideline. They're like, look, he's messing around with his hand. I'm like, yeah, he just got a smash in the helmet. Like, is he going to put on a thing? And is he going to fumble the ball? Or are the Browns going to do anything? Because I don't trust the Browns right now. And I don't even know. The AFC North, you're up there. What are your predictions on the AFC North?
Man, I feel like it's Baltimore's to lose. And I think with the inconsistencies of Burrow and trying to piece together the rest of the offense was with Cincinnati. I think it's Baltimore's to lose. They picked up Cunningham to be the backup for Lamar Jackson, so there's going to be a good chance that if an injury does come up, they still have another athletic quarterback to make the system go.
That's where I watched the division, and it seems like it should be the Ravens, but like, Harbaugh, he's making so many weird calls that I'm like, what are you doing, buddy? Are you losing it? I see Tomlin do the same thing, and it's like, do they want to be fired? Like, Harbaugh was challenging to play, like, after the fact, just out of spite, to, like, add time onto the game. And it's like, why are you doing that?
Well, and I look at Pittsburgh's situation, and it's just, it's so bizarre. Like, to have one guy that's going to do all your game planning for the week, and then on game day, somebody else is calling your plays, and like, it just, there's so much that I feel like it's really difficult to even just watch the Steelers and just be a fan of the game, because they should be so much better with the defense that they have, the players that they have. Like, I feel like they've been putting pieces together well. They have athletes all over the place, but it's like they just can't move the ball, and it's just a stale offense, and it's been carried over for probably three coordinators now. That there's no innovation. It's just bland.
That's where, like I said, I'm not even excited to watch them. It's bad. It's like, oh, I know they have a backup quarterback, but even Pickett, someone made a big deal about Pickett sitting in the booth. Did you see that?
No.
They said, like, this is the difference between the AFC North, and it was Pickett in the booth, and I think Deshaun Watson sitting in the booth. And then it was like Joe Burrow injured, like down on the sideline talking to the other quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
And I was like, that maybe that is something. Because like the Steelers, their quarterback situation with Ben was so toxic. They're like, maybe you need to have a guy that's a little bit more focused on like the team. But even I was giving Warren praise as running the ball. Now he's even looking like crap. So I'm like, who even want to get the ball? They're like dropping passes, and I'm just like, and then I watch, like, I don't want to try to separate college football this week, but with Herbstreit, I can't even watch Thursday night because he's so annoying that it's like, I remember years ago when they brought Herbstreit on, and I'm like, I know he's a Buckeye, but he's usually all right on the show, and he's like leaned into it to where he's one of the most annoying commentators. I think him and Tony Romo annoy me the most. Like, Tony Romo is all about himself. Did you see that he said he made a mistake calling Kelsey Taylor Swift's husband or whatever he said? And as soon as he said it, I thought, he did that on purpose for clout. Because he knows tomorrow his name will be trending. And that's what happened. Because, like, you can make a... He's like, oh, it's a Freudian slip. I thought they would get married. And it's like, hey, buddy, calm down. It's like when you're like in middle school and like your buddy like has some girl like that likes him and he doesn't like her back, and you're like teasing him about, oh, yeah, it's your wife right there. What are you guys doing this weekend? And then, like, that's what Tony Romo's acting like on national television. And I know they're dating, but it's like, how he probably sits down and thinks, how can I make this about me? Like, I don't see any other reason he would make the comment. And I think Herbstreit's starting to do the same thing. Tweeting pictures about backup quarterbacks and his dog after he just talked about college football and how backup quarterbacks weren't that good. And I'm like, you can't honestly think that this matchup on Thursday night with backup quarterbacks is going to be exciting. You're basically just bought and paid. And then the fact that he comes out and is like, people just don't look at the facts. And that's the most annoying thing to me, because it's like, nobody, they have the facts. You're twisting them. You can't say a 13-0 team is bad. I've been even saying for some of the lower conferences, because no one goes undefeated. Even all those Bama championships, it was rare that they went undefeated. But you're giving teams that don't have a loss, you're not giving them a chance. And that's why, like, Mike Leach, that old video resurfaced. Remember when he called it, like, the football invitational?
Yeah.
That's been floating around a lot lately. And people are like... I saw some diehard people that were like, I can't believe you guys are putting words in Mike Leach's mouth. I'm like, did you watch the video? He said it word for word. Like, they're not, like, making it up. They try to, like, popularize or, like, capitalize on Mike Leach's legacy. That he wanted a 16-team playoff or even bigger. Like, the lower ranks. And at this point, I don't even care. But, like, the NFL is in the same boat as me. And because Monday night, the ESPN started the show, like, two games a lot of weekends. And one of them is on national TV. And then they're bragging about the TV ratings and how they've skyrocketed. And I'm like, yeah, you guys are adding two games together, with one of them being on ABC, that people don't have to pay for ESPN. Like, everyone knows ESPN is cord cutting. So they don't want to say, like, oh, our ESPN viewers are down. So to trick the, hang on, they're not even tricking the NFL. They probably worked with them on it, where they're like, we need to get our viewership up. Monday night should be the most watched game. And then, of course, they put the Giants, Packers, two big fan bases. And I think they delivered ratings last night because it was a close game. And then on Thanksgiving, the Lions, Packers, I think was like over 30 million or something crazy, which is like one of the highest, if not the highest ever early day game. And I'm like, the NFL's doing things right. But having ESPN like twist things and like talk about different teams and stuff, like the Mahomes stuff for how many years, and now Kansas City doesn't look that good. That's what frustrated me about the Packers. You have a crap game plan against the Giants, and it was almost like watching a Jim Harbaugh coach against like Maryland. I know he wasn't coaching this year, but that's the kind of safe game plan he would have came out with, where Giants are taking all these shots and getting a bunch of turnovers, and they're barely in the game. And you're just waiting, and you're like, well, don't worry. I know the Packers are going to score and take the lead here at the end. Like, I know Michigan's going to beat Maryland. Like, what are we doing here, guys? And then they get the late touchdown, or they get the safety or whatever. They get the interception. It's like, all right, it's over. But then the Giants did the unthinkable with their, like, hometown hero, and he throws a crossing route, takes it down into field goal range. And because the Packers ran one of the dumbest two-point conversion plays I've ever seen, where they just ran like a jet sweep. Or I don't even know what, if it was a reverse or what, but basically same action. And they didn't even have any blockers out there. He got crushed by like three guys. And I thought, I thought, good, you deserve to lose. I stayed up for this. And then I was like, in the middle of the night when I'm sick, I'm like, man, did that game get me so sick? What are we doing here, guys? But I think they're unrelated. That's my NFL thing. I'm surprised that the Patriots are eliminated, because we hear about like Belichick. Belichick's good. Tom Brady came out. Someone asked him, like, hey, if we put together an old guy 7-on-7 league, would you play? And he's like, yeah, I think we'd win a lot of games if you did like ex-NFL guys. Like, we could bring in Randy Moss and Ocho Cinco from the Patriots, like, all-star team. And then Gronk is like, hey, you didn't include me. I'm like, yeah, because those other guys are big, fast guys. You're just big. They can't tackle you. No wonder Tom is leaving you out. I know Gronk was joking, but I thought that actually, I might even actually watch that more than like the All-Star game. If they did, like, because the NBA is doing that in-season tournament, which I kind of forgot about. I had a friend come up and he was like, yeah, we had a party for it.
What kind of tournament is it? Is it still going on?
Oh, Matt, I told you it's a disaster. So like, they had a bunch of round robin rounds back before Thanksgiving, I think. Maybe at the beginning of November. Then, after all those round robin games, for no reason, because like, why? Just, you already have the regular season. Just play a regular season schedule, and then around Christmas, take the top 16 teams, or hell, even include all of the teams and make a gigantic bracket and finish the tournament in like 4 or 5 days, or like a week or two. I guess you could do 2 weeks, maybe. But they kind of just made it, they finished in like, I don't know, maybe it was a span of a week, but they played like the top eight. So it was like, maybe I'm wrong. It was either 8 or 16, but they had like three rounds, I think. And I think LeBron won it. And the Lakers are like, we're going to hang a banner for this. And I'm like, yeah, you have to. If you're trying to promote something to do it year after year, you can't just ignore it. Like, oh, we got that holiday tournament in. Yeah, awesome. But like, I honestly didn't see any press about it, because like, football's over, so I've been looking for stuff to watch. And I mean, college football, I mean, but like, I didn't even see anything about it. If a buddy of mine didn't say that they were having a watch party, I never would have known that it even happened still. And I was like, oh, please don't tell me LeBron.
I remember talking about it at one point, but I thought, like, if they're doing an early season tournament, like, it's not going to last for half the season.
Well, that's what I thought was annoying. Like, they did it for money. So I'm like, instantly don't care about these guys. Like, does LeBron need more money? And then deep down, I'm like, I kind of want the Celtics to win. Please don't tell me that LeBron beat the Celtics, but they beat the Pacers. And it's like, the Celtics, I think, had one of the best records So it's like, all right, well, that's the beauty of the one loss tournament. Not going to win them all. LeBron can get up. Yeah, I think the Celtics do have the best record in the East. So it's like, all right, and then the Lakers are sixth in the West. They're not even anywhere near the top. But that's the one thing where if you want people to care about the regular season, have a regular season, and then halfway through around Christmas, just market the hell out of it. Because I'm under the assumption that bowl games are done. And I know we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but I think the basically the TV stuff around Christmas is going to be open. Because like they're not going to keep having games with no one playing when the playoffs expand. No one's going to watch. No one's going to play. It's like a weird, sad game. That's why people, they're like, Michigan hasn't won a bowl game. I'm like, I don't care. And they're like, what? What do you mean you don't care? I'm like, why would I care? Like, they didn't beat South Carolina in an exhibition game when Clowney made that big hit with Brady Hoke as coach. Like, all right, see, we got bigger things to talk about, buddy. We got playoffs now. And they're like, oh, but they don't win in the playoffs. They get killed both years. I'm like, they didn't get killed last year. They lost by, they had the ball with the chance to tie it up or take the lead. I can't remember what the final score was. And people were like, oh, well, yeah, but then TCU got killed. And it's like, that doesn't mean Michigan would have got killed. Like, Ohio State almost beat that Georgia team. That's the beauty of the playoffs. Michigan had a bad game. They lost. Now this year, we'll see what happens. That's why it annoys me that, like, Florida State doesn't get that chance. Because, like, I don't care if Bama has a chance. Bama has had the chance. It's not about them increasing their legacy. I think that's what ESPN doesn't understand. I know they have money tied into it, just like the Monday night games. But, yeah, they have the money tied in. But people aren't going to, they're not going to keep watching if the same teams are in it every year. Like, it would benefit the Big Ten if Penn State made it a few times, and hell, even if Nebraska made it a few times, instead of just Michigan and Ohio State, if we're being honest. Like, when Michigan State made it, that was good for the Big Ten. Because you need to have more brands. You can't just have, like, the ACC had Florida State make it, and then they fell off. And then they had Clemson win it a few times, and so people were like, the ACC can win the whole thing. And then Clemson falls off, and they're like, eh, maybe the ACC can't anymore. Like, look what happened to TCU. And it's like, well, TCU made it, but at least it wasn't like Oklahoma getting killed. Oklahoma was killed how many years in a row? Like, does it matter? Did anyone say Oklahoma didn't deserve to be there? But that's my thing with, like, the Monday night. Don't put it on ESPN, because I'm not going to pay for ESPN. People are complaining about Peacock. Peacock's cheaper than ESPN. I think they put the big college basketball Arizona and Purdue game on there. Peacock's like $5 a month. People spend $5 a month buying like lattes and stuff. ESPN, if you're trying to get it on like actual cable, it's like $70 a month, even with YouTube TV. It's a way bigger investment. So that's why I'm glad that college football's going the NFL route. The NFL is way healthier than any other sports league, because they're not tied in to one network. But that's my thing. You have anything else? I know I'm kind of all over the board. Do you want anything you want to talk about for the NFL?
Just as far as the NFL, actually going way back to our fantasy stuff, I kind of felt like with the way that the season went, it just seems like if you can hold off, like, avoid the major injury bugs, it seems like in our league you stand a chance of holding your own. And when I was looking at the schedule, I was trying to be more mindful, and I do a terrible job of this every year, of trying to look at where the schedule's going to lie as far as matchup, so that if you're in a position to make a playoff run, what does that look like? And, like, you don't want it to be where you're winning all your games and then you hit the playoffs and you end up with a bunch of, like, really terrible matchups where all your teams, like, score 60, 70 points. So trying to be a little bit more cognizant of that and having some matchups that maybe are winnable. The issue that I kept having is I kept looking at my running backs, and I had Bijan Robinson, but then Ezekiel Elliott was kind of playing inconsistent. It was just like just trying to figure out like what the right combination of my backfield people, my backfield personnel was going to be so that I wouldn't get hosed as far as like leaving points on the bench. Cause that's like my ultimate fear is that I have a chance to win. And especially this week playing you, I'll have enough points on my roster, but then leave like not start two guys and have them on the bench with enough points to win and be like, oh, I knew I should have flipped this guy in for this guy.
See, that's why I do no regrets, dude. I figure out who has the best odds, and I look at the projection right now. You only have me at three positions, Bijan Robinson, Stephon Diggs, and then your kicker is slated to get one more point than my guy. Every other position, I have the advantage. So I'm like, good. But I got to figure out who's injured. Because, like, I don't care what position or like what team. Like there's been games where I hate having tight ends, but I've been playing McBride, I think, from Arizona, and I've been playing two tight ends as my flex. And I see a lot of people, they're like setting their ways when I'm playing them, and it's like, buddy, your bench has been outscoring you. That's why, like, the one guy that almost won the division, I told him during the draft, like, yo, I'm out of money, you should get Nico Collins from Michigan. And he was playing awesome, and then I think he got hurt like last week, and I'm like, he had a huge drop off. The team that if he would have won and had like a convincing score, he could have won the tiebreaker of most points. But when you get guys injured, it's like, man, that's a bummer, because like that would have been a big time score. And like, I don't even care, like I have no favorites. So like, remember when the Rams cut their kicker and he was like number one in points? I just randomly picked up the Browns kicker, and now he's number two in points for the season. So, like, is that really a loss for me? Not really. They're playing Chicago. I'm hoping that the Browns can get some points. And I picked up, like, the Colts defense, knowing that I always look at the playoff weeks. So I knew that the Steelers had a backup QB. And I'm like, this Colts is going to be good. They're not really high-ranked, but I think their playoff matchups are good enough to at least get me close to the championship game. Because how many years do we have like a team scoring high points, playoffs hit, and they have like guys sitting out and all this stuff, and the championship game is like 80-78 and you're like just having a heart attack, you're like, catch the ball, we can win. So because like we're projected, what's it, 130
nonchalant, you're saying like, oh, I just randomly pick up the Cleveland kid. You pick the winner. Pick that Florida State kicker. Dustin Hopkins, baby.
Didn't even know he went there.
Nail field goals for you.
I couldn't get my man Jake Moody for the Niners. He's one of the highest scoring guys. He might even be number one. I don't even know. I haven't looked at it. But like even the projection right now, my guys are slated to score 130. They have your guys at 115. And I'm like, what are we actually going to get? We're going to get like a 98 to like 101 game or something really stupid. But it only takes one guy to go off. Like if Jacobs is out, I also have Devontae Adams. So like, could the Raiders just dink and dunk the entire game? Because like the Chargers don't have anybody. I have Thielen. I picked him up. I can't believe the guy dropped him. And I messaged him. I'm like, I can't believe you dropped him. Now I'm going to win the championship. And he's like, I couldn't take, he was too hot and cold, I couldn't take it. That's what you have to do. If you have a guy that you're like, I don't know if I should play him, just drop him. Because I had Amari Cooper and he had like broken ribs, and I'm like, do I play him? And he's been on my bench, and him and Thielen have been like scoring around the same points, and I'm like, it wouldn't even have mattered. I look at the average for the year, and I know the Panthers are like a complete disaster right now, but who can I get better? Am I playing another tight end? Kyler Murray coming back, as long as he stays healthy, knock on wood, is like the biggest bump, because I have a guy on the bench that I'm confident I can put in. That like he doesn't ever check down to the running backs, he just checks down to the tight end. So like I'm not even joking. Like when I picked up McBride, I was surprised that like not a ton of people bid me for him. Cause like Murray came back and he scored like 25. He's kind of hot and cold, so he had 5, then 21, 9, 13, and then 22. So, like, he's scoring, like, 20-something points when they're, like, trying to make a comeback in the game. And I'm like,
well, when I picked Murray up right as Buffalo fired their off, they fired Ken Dorsey, because I was like, I don't want there to be where all of a sudden they're, everyone's just crapping on the Bills and we get no offensive production. Because I was like, I have all my eggs in the Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen basket. And I was like, I can't have this completely fall to the wayside. So I was like, I'll hedge myself. I'll get Kyler Murray, because if he may not win a lot of games for Arizona, but at least he'll put up numbers. He'll just run around and just draw stuff up in the dirt as he goes.
Well, that's how I picked up Sam Howell, and he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And I'm like, oh, he's on my bench. I guess if like Prescott gets hurt, there's no way I'd play him over Prescott. But I'm like, I guess it wouldn't be too bad in the playoffs. So then all year I'm juggling. I had Tom Brady on my roster. I really wanted Tom Brady to be on a championship team again. But I had a week with a bunch of injuries, like I said, to my running backs. I had to let him go. It pained me. I should try to pick him back up if I get close, knowing that I'm not going to play him. But I was like, man, some of the guys, it's like, do you play a team? Like, I'll probably look at the waiver and just see, is there going to be anyone else that I can pick up? But it's all about like the weekends. Like, I picked the Cowboys play the Bills, so it's lucky that I got you. Because like, if the Bills end up losing to the Cowboys, that's probably going to give me a good chance to beat you. But they also play Miami and then Detroit. And I didn't think Detroit was going to be good. I thought they'd come back to earth. But the Browns, the reason I had so many Browns guys is their next 3 weeks are Chicago, Houston, and then the Jets. So like, three teams they can easily beat. I also had the Raiders. Cool. What did they have? Because I looked through the weeks as I was drafting guys, and I'm like, do I draft them? See, the Raiders had Chargers and the Chiefs and then the Colts. But the Chiefs are usually a good matchup for the Raiders, because like, it'll be like around 20 points or whatever, and they're going to be losing. So they're going to throw to Davante Adams. They have to. They might not run Josh Jacobs, but normally I can hedge my bets with those two. But that's my update. You have anything else for the NFL you want to talk about?
No.
I'm starting to lose it now. We'll see how much longer I can make it. Talking about, I wanted to do bold predictions. I don't think I'm going to make it today to do that. I do want to talk a little bit more about the Florida State thing, because ESPN, they wrote an article that was like, hey, fans, Florida State fans, they're like starting to realize that the playoff committee got it right. And I'm like, no, they're not.
No.
So go ahead. Give your thoughts on that.
Well, I've been just living in this Twitter space over X space of just angry, volatile Florida State fans. And they're just not easing up on the gas at all. And one of the things that was circulating that really stuck with me was how arrogant Herb Street was on game day. And he's like, see what I mean? You can't say that somebody's left out, because when they put Cincinnati in the playoffs, it was a non-power five undefeated conference champion that went in. And he's like, see, if you win your games, you deserve a shot. And everything just went against that. And the more that they try to say, well, it was this, it was that, we didn't mean this, there was no way they were putting them in when you had Alabama, Georgia, and Texas all in the running with those bigger markets. And the thing that pissed me off more was that the conversation shouldn't have been, where's Florida State fall out at? It should have been their undefeated conference champ. They should have been in the top three. And the discussion should have focused around, is it Alabama, Georgia, or Texas deserving of that fourth spot? And by taking that away, I think there were so many other factors that they left off. Like, was the offense going to be this big high-scoring thing? Probably not. But with how well the defense was playing, and they were playing tough ranked offense. I mean, they were the only team that held the Heisman Trophy winner Daniels to his lowest total of the year. Like, there's nothing to say that if you're playing great defense and you're playing great special teams, that you can't create a turnover, you can't create opportunities and put your team in a position to win. I would have loved to have seen that happen, and I feel like by choosing the money over what was the right thing to do, it put them in this terrible spot. Now, to me, the thing that I feel like is the silver lining in this is that for all of our discussions and my joking with you about the Big Ten, it's like, I'm done with ESPN. I'm done with the SEC. I'm ready for that break, and let's just jump to the Big Ten. And I feel like, you know, when you're looking at the markets that Florida State's, you know, what can you do for me now? I mean, the most watched games, Florida State was at 3.58 million. So, I mean, like, they were almost doubling the next closest team from the ACC. So when we're looking at people saying, oh, you need to bring somebody on board to balance things out, I was like, no, you don't. Not when you can combine Clemson and Louisville, 2 and 3, and still not match the numbers that Florida State was able to pull in. You know, they're in the process of applying for the academic requirements. So I just think across the board, they're going to be a good fit. And for as bad of a snubbing as it is, I just think to hell with ESPN at this point, because you've blatantly dumped it. And now you're trying to do all this smoothing over. Oh, they're realizing that it was the right. You're like, no, bullshit. The whole argument and the beginning part to this playoff was undefeated Power 5 conference champs take precedent. That was always the sticking point, is it had to be undefeated. And Florida State made it. They should have had the opportunity. And, you know, now they're putting this catch 22 scenario, because you play the bowl game with Georgia, and you have opt-outs on both sides, and it appears that Norvell and Kirby Smart are both focused on their next line of recruiting as opposed to the preparations. And it's like, if you win, so what? Georgia wasn't interested. If you lose, well, you shouldn't have even been in the playoffs anyhow. It's like, it's a no-win situation for them.
That's why I wanted them to decline the bowl. And I know you wanted them to show up and cost ESPN even more money. But to me, then you're giving ESPN a good case to just give them a forfeit. And at the end of the year, they're going to say Florida State didn't play, so they're not undefeated anymore. Where if you're just...
Well, wait a minute.
If you decline just the bid and you're just like, we're undefeated, we're going to hang a banner, no one's going to stop you. You don't have to beat Georgia. You already beat LSU. That's the one thing that annoys me. People are like, if you kick Alabama out, they're not going to schedule Texas anymore. It's like, well, if you don't put Florida State in, why would they even schedule LSU? Why, they would be better off scheduling two crappy SEC schools like Missouri and Kentucky? Like, who was ranked high this year that you knew Florida State would have blew out at the beginning of the year? Not LSU. LSU had some hype. Like, Missouri, to me, who have they beat? Right, so like,
but I liked that matchup with LSU. Like, to me, I thought they had a championship caliber team on hand that I thought, for as well as they played them the year prior, was like, yeah, bring it on. Let's see what you got, because they had the pieces in place to make a run, and I feel like to say the quarterback situation is a question mark. Well, yeah, when you play a true freshman in his first game with a week of preparation, that's tough. You have a month to prepare for these playoff games. That's more than enough time to handle that.
Yeah, that's why I just think that the bowl games are going to disappear, because ESPN, everything is tied to ESPN. Everyone's tied to ESPN, and even CBS, they came out recently, I think, and said, like, look, we wanted the SEC to come back. We were shocked that they, like, tied their brand. They didn't say, like, a sinking ship. But basically, that's kind of what they were at. is ESPN's like a sinking ship. How could they tie their brand to that? And then now ESPN's all in, but like when the playoff switches to three channels in 2026 and three of the four broadcast the Big Ten, the SEC is going to lose a lot of power. That's almost like why I've been kind of shocked that Fox keeps talking up the SEC, but I'm wondering if they're doing it to kind of build them up into like a false sense of security. And then when the playoff gets away from ESPN, then they're just going to be like, all right, we'll pick our brands. I mean, it would go a big way if Michigan and Washington, two Big Ten teams going forward, play for the national championship, where compared to there's a chance that Texas and Alabama could play two SEC schools in the championship going forward. And that's kind of what they wanted. I think ESPN saw that, well, we have to put Washington in, they're undefeated. We don't really care about Florida State. Even that's what shocks me. It's like they have the money and invested in the ACC, and they're telling them, like, look, no, we need Texas and Bama to have their playoff appearances going forward. Like, Florida State, you're out. Even if Florida State joins the SEC, it's almost like ESPN's telling them, well, you're going to be on the Missouri level or Ole Miss, where you might be close, but if we have a chance, we are 100% not picking you.
But see, and that was always one of the things that pissed me off about the SEC, is that so you put Missouri and Ole Miss and like you rank five or six teams in the top 25 at the beginning of the year and overflate them because you're controlling the market. So you can rank them as high as you want. So you can have five or six teams that are ranked really high at the beginning of the year. And then as the season drags on, now Alabama's schedule looks better because they have these ranked wins versus teams that weren't very good. And it's why over the last couple of years, I feel like you get to bowl season and the majority of the SEC teams have gotten smoked. Because it's just like you beat each other up and it's like, oh, well, the SEC just means more. It's Bama and Georgia. But when you look, there's such a clear difference from those two down that you start looking at everywhere else and they just beat on each other. It's almost like what I've compared to last week with the ACC, where you have gotten teams that just randomly beat each other and it should knock them out of the playoff contention. But to ESPN, it's like, oh, that's a quality win. That's a quality win. Well, if you're just beating, if one person punches another person who punches another person, like, maybe it just means your conference is crap.
See, that's where they got their luck, because they had Auburn win a title, they had LSU win a title, and they had all these teams win titles, where even going back to like the 90s, like the Big Ten really only had Michigan 97, Penn State could have claimed 94. Now with Nebraska, like, Nebraska's fallen off so bad that it's really just Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State, and like no one else has a chance. Like, Michigan State makes the playoffs and then they don't show up. And it's like, if they would have won the title, then that makes the Big Ten look even better. And that's why I think Washington or Michigan has to win it this year to kind of change that narrative. And it doesn't matter who does it. It just can't be an SEC school. Because if Texas wins it, they're going to say, like, oh, well, they're in the SEC now. And they already chanted SEC at the Big 12 championship game. And things like that. And it's like, yeah, they have Alabama and Georgia right now. But even before, Georgia wasn't winning titles. Like, having Auburn and LSU and now Georgia and other schools win them. That's why I think they were afraid. They said that they wanted the expanded playoff to get their teams in. But realistically, I think they were kind of nervous at first, because you don't want to give an Ohio State a second chance. Like, Ohio State could be the best team this year. We don't know. Like, they lost to Michigan. Michigan's been their kryptonite the last 3 years. Like, look how good CJ Stroud's doing and how close they were. They were a missed field goal last year, beating Georgia. They didn't lose that game. They blew it. Like, they had the game won, and they missed a field goal. So, like, you can't say that Ohio State probably should have won the title last year. They probably should have, because I don't think TCU was going to beat them. I mean, Georgia kind of came out another level, but then this year, why have Bama ahead of Georgia then? Like, if you're just looking at team talent or whatever, Georgia's been ahead of them all year. Yeah, they beat them on neutral ground by three. It's not like Alabama killed them. How can you say, if you're going to say that Alabama's better than Florida State, how can you not say that Georgia just might be better than Bama? And they got lucky. That's why everyone...
There were so many games that they try to point to that, oh, they didn't really win by that much versus this team or that team. Every team on there, outside of Washington and Michigan, had a loss.
That's why everyone's saying, like, oh, look at Michigan. They're barely winning at the end of the year. It's like, yeah, they played two top 10 teams and then top 15 Iowa, whatever Iowa ended up. Like, Alabama's playing Chattanooga, guys. What are you talking about? They're not playing Ohio State and Penn State and then Maryland. Like, Maryland has a winning record. It would be like them, like, they're playing Chattanooga. And they're barely beating Auburn. Now, and that's not to say that with a month to prepare, Bama doesn't come out and smoke Michigan. But I think it always comes down to, like, to me, I'm always shocked that, like, no one's trying to hire Nick Saban from the NFL. Like, every year, Harbaugh has to deal with, like, NFL rumors. Like, Saban never does because he wasn't good in the NFL. And people are like, revisionist history. They're like, no, Saban just had a tough scenario. Like, his losing record didn't really matter. NFL teams would love to have him back. It's like, nah, they haven't. They've mentioned him sometimes, but it's not like the Harbaugh way. So, to me, it's like, all right. Yeah, he's a great coach, but Saban's only won when he's had, like, top talent. So, we'll see what happens. I mean, if they win, I feel bad for Florida State.
The way he runs his program, it translates really well to college. I don't think that it translates as well to the NFL, which is kind of where some of the other coaches who've made that jump really get crushed, because they're not able to control every aspect of their players in the NFL. So if you don't have the ability to give that independence to the players, as opposed to micromanaging every aspect of them, you know, that they're not as successful.
And that's where, like, some of these teams now with NIL, we're going to find out when Bama has to not have, like, five stars four deep anymore. Are they great coaches? Or are people going to, like, compare it to, like, Bobby Bowden and Paterno, where it's like, near the end, they kind of trailed off there. Like, that's what they're going to say with Saban. Like, well, it's not his fault. He can't be great all the time. Right? But, like, I think, like, Kentucky getting, like, transfers from big schools like Ohio State and Georgia, and some of them having, like, real talent, that's all we need, is, like, them to start stepping up and knocking some of these teams off. Like, that's what Michigan really needed from the Big Ten that hasn't happened. Purdue beat Ohio State once. Iowa beat them, like, once. And, like, no one else has really beaten them. So it's like, is someone going to step up? Ohio State's never going to come down if they never lose to anybody else other than Michigan. Yeah, it's funny, and it might drive them crazy to where they get rid of Ryan Day and it starts a cycle. But, like, for the Big Ten brand, some of these other schools got to just stop cashing a check. That's why I want them to get Florida State. I get into arguments all the time with other Big Ten fans because they're like, no, I'd rather have the Big Ten get, like, Boston College and Pitt. It's like, why? Do you watch Boston College and Pitt play? Well, no. But why do you want them in the Big Ten? It's like, well, they're academics. It's like, it's a football conference, buddy. Like, if you're not going to watch the game, like, no one watches them now. You're not going to add them in. That's why I've been on record saying, like, I would prefer Florida State and Miami. And if they don't get Miami, they should get Georgia Tech, not Clemson. There's rumors that Clemson's, like, brand has diminished. And the only reason people are saying that they won the titles is because NFL QBs, which probably could be true. But the brand is small. South Carolina owns that market. They're in a small state. Like, they're close to Georgia. But, like, if you want to take down the SEC and the Georgia Bulldogs, you take Georgia Tech. The only reason you don't is that you're holding out hope that ESPN and the SEC implode 10 years down the road. And it could be a realistic thing, because I've been saying it. The Big Ten has three networks all bidding for their rights. They're going to make more money than what ESPN is going to pay the SEC, because ESPN is losing money. They can't just keep getting more money to pay them. And that's why I think them getting locked up to the to the SEC for how many years is really going to be the thing that shifted. Because everyone's watching ESPN, they're getting all the propaganda about how the SEC is the best. When NIL starts paying out, because I think there's a court case right now where college athletes are going to be able to get paid from TV contracts, and the Big Ten makes the most money, their athletes are going to have the highest base salary. Yeah, some of these schools like Tennessee might be able to drop McDonald's bags still, but that's good for top talent, not so much for depth. I mean, look at A&M. They pay big guys. They don't get playing time. They get upset. They transfer. Team's not good. They don't have the culture. But if the Big Ten starts paying guys like a living wage that's higher than the other conferences, the top recruits are just going to go to the Big Ten. It's not like, A&M, if they're going to pay for a recruit, like they're not really paying that much more than like what Ohio State or Michigan or Penn State would even pay. And that's why I think the Big Ten should just lock down Florida, lock down Georgia, try to get a Texas team in there to help with recruiting, and really put the screws to them. Because, like, how many years ago was Boise State a thing? How many years ago was, like, a lot of these other schools, like, really top talent that has kind of fallen off, like USC? USC, Nebraska, like, could they ever make it back? Maybe they can't. And that's where I think a lot of these other schools need to be careful, because, like, if the top breaks away, which I fear is going to happen. But like if Michigan's playing a schedule like next year where they have like five top 25 teams, you have to have the cupcakes. Because with a new quarterback potentially, if Michigan goes like 6-6, are they going to fill the stadium? They're used to winning 8 games at like a minimum, right? Anything less than that is like a disaster season. So you have to have the cupcake teams. That's why I'm worried that like the Big Ten's like, hey, we're going to add all these cupcakes. It's like, yeah, but you have to have some good teams too. You can't just put all your eggs in like Pitt and Boston College, where like if the SEC, I know they're not going to add Florida State and Clemson, because those are two top teams. Why would they want their conference to be even more of a bloodbath when all the other conferences can get together and say like, look, you're all in one or two conferences now. We have the vote for the playoffs. We want every conference to be added, which is what I've been hoping from the start. Keep the teams around 100 and let small schools like App State and Boise State have their day in the sun if they can go undefeated or win their conference. Even like I said, this year, I think Boise won the conference. They were like 8-5 or something. Let them play Michigan round one. Michigan does not deserve a bye. Everyone laughs when Michigan loses. Wouldn't it be funny if they lost an 8-5 Boise State? Yeah, to everyone else, not to me. But that's my last thing. If anything you want to add, I'm pretty much done. You can keep talking for the rest if you'd like.
No, I mean, the only other thing that I wanted to say is I don't want Florida State to protest the bowl. But what I thought would be a good way to make a statement would be to go through the bowl process. Take your practices, be around the team, allow the kids to be on that trip and do all the team-related stuff. And then when it comes time to have to leave the locker room, just take one or two penalties. Just delay game penalties where you don't exit the locker room. And the whole time they're just sitting there just being like, well, the game was supposed to start, but now we can't show these random other games because the scheduling for this bowl game is now backed up, where it wouldn't necessarily change the outcome of the game because it would just be a penalty off the kickoff. So you take one or two delay game penalties. It creates this extra buzz of we got screwed. This is our protest. And then you go out and you play your game.
My only worry with that is, though, you could get killed by Georgia. No one's going to remember the protest.
You could, but, I mean, that's why you play the game. Take the chance. I mean, I think there's still a lot of talented players there at Florida State, and Georgia has to game plan for a month for it. So, good luck trying to figure out a new quarterback.
Well, see, that's where I think the state of Florida is going after the college football playoff. And I think that's where a lot of people are kind of just forgetting that, like, there are a lot of small schools, like even Massachusetts, it hasn't been good. Like, do you really think their politicians are going to let everyone else have access to a million-dollar payout every year with no hope for these other smaller schools to get in? Like, a lot of states, I think, are just going to band together and go after them. So it's going to be interesting to see what Florida does. But there's some rumors that Belichick's out, Matt.
Yeah, I saw that there was a report that when he lost the game overseas in Germany, that he was going to be donezoed.
Which is crazy, because everyone said he's the best.
But I think maybe if he still wants to make it work, what makes a logical move is for the Chargers to just completely tank out. Staley gets fired and Belichick just changes course. He'd have Herbert back healthy. He'd have his quarterback. He could bump up the defense, run his system in New England, and potentially push for another championship.
That's where, I mean, do you think he'll go somewhere else? I don't know, I'm kind of out of it. I don't even know what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this stage, he really doesn't have anything else left to prove. That I would just think he would likely just call it a career.
I think he should just have a cardboard cutout of Tom Brady he carries around.
Oh my God, you're so ridiculous.
Well, it'd be funny. He's like, here I am at the Hall of Fame. It's me and Tom Brady. Just like the good old days. Not these other guys. I looked it up. So ESPN and SEC have that deal for 10 years, which is 2 years. It'd be 2034, which is 2 years before the ACC deal is up even. So, like, if cable keeps getting lost, I don't see how one network's going to pay billions of more dollars, especially when they're trying to pay the NBA and stuff too. But that's all I got this week. I'm dead. You have anything else you want to add?
No.
All right. We ended up being a good show. So thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.